Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. As the Q4 corporate reporting season continues, today we will spend some time looking at how the results have been coming in, along with a look at recent performance of U.S. equities and considerations when it comes to equity positioning. Joining us for the conversation on this Friday morning, glad to welcome back from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Matt Tormey, Equity Strategist for the Americas. With that, Matt, thank you for dropping by and for spending some time today with our listeners and clients. Welcome back.
Thanks, Dan, for having me back.
So, Matt, as I mentioned, we are in the thick of it with respect to the Q4 reporting season. I know this week alone we have received an abundance of reporting across multiple sectors. So can you take a moment here at the start, Matt, to share with us how the results have been coming in, along with any trends or observations you can share with us?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, Dan, we're right in the heart of the fourth quarter earnings season. So far, we've had about 50% of the entire S&P 500 market cap report. And so far, we would describe the results as pretty healthy, with results coming in line with our expectations. And also, guidance has been encouraging. But just running through some of the numbers real quick as of this morning, just more than 60% of companies are beating sales estimates. Roughly 75% are beating earnings estimates. Also, if we look at the magnitude of the beats, the median company is beating by about 3.5%, and corporate profits are pacing to come in around in line with our expectations for 7 to 9% growth. Now, if we look at some of the key takeaways across sectors, starting with financials first, the overall results have been pretty good, with net interest income coming in better than expected. Credit trends have been good, while loan growth has been a bit tepid. We're also seeing evidence of a pickup in capital markets activity and also increased signs of buyback activity that's likely being driven by excess capital. Outside of the financial sector, the consumer still appears to be in good shape, with Procter & Gamble providing constructive commentary. The airlines are pointing out that travel trends have been supportive as demand's been solid, and there are increased signs that more customers are paying up to sit in premium cabins. And MasterCard just yesterday made some really good points that they characterize the consumer spending as being healthy, which was reiterated by Visa as well last night. The labor market's strong, and affluent customers are benefiting from the wealth effect. Looking at housing, the home builders have continued to point out that high mortgage rates are pressuring affordability and are having to use incentives to meet their delivery goals. And on tech and AI, just a little bit more than a week ago, Taiwan semi results showed that AI-related demand remains robust, and Meta Platforms and Microsoft's earnings this week showed that the AI CapEx story is broadly intact, with commentary from both management teams sounding quite bullish. So to wrap, we do continue to expect to see earnings growth broaden out, while also keeping in mind that mega cap tech stocks will still account for more than 2/3 of growth, and we maintain our S&P 500 earnings estimates, expecting 9% growth in both 2024 and 2025.
Well, Matt, thank you for that comprehensive recap of what the reporting has looked like across sectors. Let's now turn to equity market performance. I know as we're speaking, we're still relatively in the early days of 2025. So how have equities been performing as of late? And can you share with us CIO's near-term equity outlook?
Right. So, yeah, as you mentioned, we're only 1 month into 2025, and we've already had some major market moving events. So the 10-year Treasury yield rose quite sharply through the middle of January. We did have a new administration take over in Washington, and a lot of executive orders have been signed, and there's still a lot to come on the fiscal policy side that remains in flux that investors will have to be mindful of. As we just discussed, the fourth quarter earnings season is in full swing. The January FOMC meeting took place this week, where the Fed held rates steady, and also markets were spooked this week following the increased attention of DeepSeek. So in the near term, we would highlight four reasons why we remain bullish and why we think the S&P 500 can head toward our June 2025 S&P 500 price target of 6,300. First, healthy earnings growth. Second, durable economic growth. Third, Fed rate cuts, which here in CIO, we do expect two of this year. And fourth, AI investment. And it's this last point I want to touch on a bit more, given the recent developments this week regarding DeepSeek and major earnings results from a majority of the Magnificent Seven. So the initial negative reaction around DeepSeek's R1 model reflected concerns about potential AI price wars, the sustainability of CapEx at major U.S. tech firms, and the challenges of navigating shifting investment across the enabling intelligence and of the AI ecosystem. But in our view here in CIO, we believe that low-cost models should actually be a positive for AI adoption, which may help increase the potential demand for services in the intelligence and application layers. And we still believe that continued investment in CapEx is needed in order to produce innovative AI models as the technology advances. And this was further supported by the lack of changes to CapEx guidance from some of the Magnificent Seven companies.
Well, there's certainly a lot there, Matt, to keep equity investors busy. So with that, let's now turn to positioning as we begin to close out. What is CIO's current positioning views when it comes to U.S. equities?
Of course. So at a high level, we do have an attractive view on U.S. equities. We do have a most attractive view on information technology, given its direct exposure to AI-related trends, which we do believe are still supportive. We should continue to see a benefit from an improvement in PC and smartphone end markets, and we still expect investors to gravitate towards high-quality companies in our attractive category, where we think these sectors still have solid upside, but maybe by not as much as tech on an absolute basis. Here we like communication services, consumer discretionary, financials, utilities, and we recently just upgraded the healthcare sector as well to attractive. Looking at our preferences across size and style segments, for size, we do have an attractive view on large caps and neutral views on mid caps and small caps, and it really is a function of the current environment that we're operating in. Historically, the best environment for small caps is when GDP growth is accelerating, and today that's not the case where economic growth is decelerating modestly. Also, the Fed's moving monetary policy from being restrictive to neutral rather than neutral to being accommodative. So this does suggest we're unlikely to see the needed acceleration in GDP growth to get the improvement in small cap earnings that we've been waiting for. However, for investors with a longer term perspective, small caps are cheap relative to large caps, which we think provides a nice setup for future outperformance. And on style, we do have attractive views on both growth and value stocks. So just quickly on growth, yes, valuations are elevated, but this segment continues to report impressive profit growth that should continue to drive further gains. And on value, our favorable view on the financial sector, which is the largest sector in the value index, should benefit from deregulation, further Fed rate cuts, and a pickup in capital markets activity, as well as our favorable views on healthcare and utilities, are both supported for the value index.
Well, Matt, a very timely and productive conversation as we begin to close out the trading week. Thank you for dropping by Top of the Morning to share with our listeners and clients an update on the Q4 reporting season, CIO's near-term outlook for U.S. equities, as well as recommendations when it comes to equity positioning. So thank you again, Matt, for your time, and do look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thanks for having me back, Dan, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.